stand together as we sing.
Oh, welcome back, Josh. Good to see you. How is your mother?
She's doing pretty well, thank you. She really appreciate all the prayers. Thank you very much. There's a chance she may do some therapy over the next year, but they're pretty pleased with the procedure.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. This sounds a little loud from here. Does it sound okay to you, the voice amplification? It's okay? Okay. I'm hearing a little bounce back, but it's fine. Well, because there is this Lifeline opportunity starting at 2:00 downtown, I thought an appropriate message would be themes associated with any public protesting, and specifically publicly protesting abortion. The Bible does say, let all things be done decently and in order. We want to reflect what's true about God in everything that we do, certainly that which we do publicly. Let's have a word of prayer. We commend this afternoon into thy hands, Father. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we want to glorify God in our spirits, in our bodies, all which are the Lord's. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us, bless us, cause us to set our affections on things above, understand how we can best serve thee as salt and light, and by thy grace do it for thy glory. In Christ's name, amen. Themes associated with publicly protesting abortion. I'm just going to list these briefly. It'll be a brief message. One is that we do have a civic responsibility. For example, we read in this well-known text, Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? If we are mindful of what something very wrong that's being done and we do nothing, we would be considered contributors to the problem and not to the solution. That was our message that we heard just the other evening. We have a civic responsibility. And to fulfill our responsibility, a second theme is self-denial. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's always more attractive and easier to go home, to not do anything, to avoid conflict and trouble and possible challenges or faith. But Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, That means you need to deny yourself up to and including crucifixion. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Third theme, self-control. We read in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." For those who do go to be on the prayer line this afternoon, it may be a simple hour of quiet prayer. There have been some times when people have been driving by and they yell out something vulgar, belligerent. So we recognize that such a thing might happen. And if it does, we shouldn't, "Oh yeah," back in kind. The Bible says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourselves." So we can take a beating and submit. And that might be a little strong language. But we don't react on the level of those who are shouting or doing things to us. But we'll be swift to hear, slow to speak, we're going to be a disciplined people in what we do publicly. And that means decorum. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:16, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or behavior in Christ." They observe you standing there praying for this hour. We want it to be a good testimony. They observe your self-control and humility and sincerity. We want to behave with decorum. Number five, courage. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Pray the Lord for courage. Next is faith. We'll walk by faith, not by sight, trusting this is in the hands of God. God will lead, God will direct, God will protect. God will bring people by. Who knows what thoughts might be provoked in whom, what good might be accomplished. Seven, conviction. Something caught in my throat. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Do you have a conviction that abortion is taking the life of a human being? That's a very serious thing, friend. And if we do, if we are persuaded of this, if we've embraced this, need to be people of conviction, not fluctuating, not doubting, not uncertain. Go to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are clear, believe them, and act accordingly. We need to be a people of conviction. And a people of compassion. Jude 1:22, "Of some have compassion, making a difference. This, like every other action that you and I are involved in, publicly or privately, ultimately, it's a matter of driven by love." So even if we're standing out there, whatever's going on, go on. And particularly, we think of those who have unfortunately been involved in abortion. Have compassion. Love them. Making a difference. And that involves humility. I think more than anything else, what people observe when Christians are out in the public is whether there's pride or there's humility in their countenance. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, as an abortionist would be, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Great testimony to be meek and humble. Preparation. We are told in Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Allow me to provide a little equipping here. Some pro-life verses, you probably know all these. One of the first ones that we quote is Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23. There we read, "If men strive," there are two men are fighting, "and hurt a woman with child," there's a woman standing there who is with child, "so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow," just an early birth, "he shall be surely punished even for that, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, so you have a miscarriage, then thou shalt give life for life. Does that not tell you that the baby within the mother's womb is a life, and to take it is murder? Life for life. Another verse, there are several, like Jeremiah 1:5, which tell us that when that child is in the womb, it's already a living soul, responsive to God. We read in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. You don't sanctify a glob of flesh, you sanctify a person. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God interacting with Jeremiah when he's in his mother. Isaiah 49:1, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Person before being born. Luke 1:15, John the Baptist, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. It's a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. He leaped within his mother's womb at the presence of the coming of the Lord Jesus and within Mary. Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, here's Paul telling us he was a child when yet in the womb and called me, called him while he's in the womb by his grace. So it's good for us to be equipped. Who knows what dialogue might be presented us. The scriptures are clear, friends. We argue from the scriptures. Number 11, perseverance. It is an hour we're talking about. It may be hot out there. We may get tired, but as much as we can. And there may be some who cannot stand the whole time, but if you can, be strong, persevere. It's just an hour. You can do it. So don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number 12, protection. Psalm 17:8, let's commit this to the Lord. He can protect us. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The apple is a reference to the pupil. Looks a little bit like an apple. And the prayer is that God would protect us with the instinctiveness and immediacy of response, as does an eye protect, the eyelid protects the eyeball. Number 13, prayer. We are assured, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This is no showboating. This is no empty ritual. We do this with full conviction that there's a spiritual warfare. Who knows what demons are involved? Who knows what we can call down by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ and what might be the result? Is not one of the speakers here in Sioux Falls a lady who was a former abortionist and then she was converted? I forget her name. But, excuse me? Ebik, yes. And she was, is she a physician? I think she's a physician who promoted and provided abortions here, and she was converted. And this can happen. Number 14, example. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth. So, young ones, if you are being part of this, you show discipline and character and humility and strength and perseverance and faith, just like the rest. Let no man look down on you being a young person, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Who knows what the Lord would do through a young one as much, if not more, as through another. Ultimately, it's a matter of love. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. That means unfaked, the real deal, love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. There is a brotherhood. There's a camaraderie, I find, for those standing along the streets and receiving abuse or not and just sitting there, standing there praying. It's a good time of fellowship. A wonderful thing to be involved in if the Lord so leads. And that's what I have, 15 themes, equipping concerning what the scriptures have to say. We're doing this briefly because people want to get in their cars and go down to 41st Street across from AutoZone, whatever that street number is there. They ask us to spread apart maybe 15, 20 feet in between to kind of fill the whole area. There are signs available at the First Assembly of God, whatever that's called now, First Church, on West 41st Street, or on a parking lot of O'Gorman, which would be closer for us. And rather than all of us going there, it'd be nice if somebody would go there and pick up 20, 30 signs and then just distribute them at our protest site, which is by AutoZone. There's somebody who'd like to be our sign fetcher? David? Sure, appreciate it. Thank you. So you can go right to the location where you'll want to stand, just park your car in a legal space there on 41st Street by AutoZone, and David will get the signs. Every person should hold a sign and just quietly pray through that hour. Does anybody have any questions? Yes?
Where should we park?
Yeah, on a side street there, wherever it's legal, near AutoZone, on the north side of the street. North side of 41st Street. Yes, Darwin?
Let us not give the Lord put an end to that practice in that building on 41st Street already. We continue to end that practice across the
country. Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you added that because I haven't spoken with an emotional fervency. But this is, friends, what are we talking about here? What in the world is happening? That's such a wicked, evil, awful, desperately vile thing be allowed. And so we go into this with conviction and with a holy conviction. Thank you. Anybody else? Our Father God, how could we not give protest in this way? When such a wicked thing is allowed in our city, sanctify us and protect us and guide us and equip us. And we pray that there be those passers-by who see and read the signs and observe and are convinced and would repent. And we pray, Lord, that you would deliver our state from any allowance. We are thankful for the restrictions that have been passed, but we pray for a complete removal of abortion from the land, from the nation. And we pray it be done by the power of God for the glory of God through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's have a final hymn and then we'll be dismissed.
Thank you.